We praise you that you are on your throne, that Jesus is at your right hand. Father, those nail scars are there. They are an evidence of the work that he did on our behalf. When he died in our place, took our sins on himself, was buried, rose again on the third day to show that the payment for sins had been made and that salvation is available to all who believe. Father, we praise you for everyone here this morning. We trust that each person has made that decision and put their faith in Christ, and they're in the family, growing in you, walking in you, empowered by your Spirit. If there's anyone here today that has not made that decision, we pray that they would before the morning is done, and that if they have questions, they would reach out and ask for information of the things they're hearing here today. We thank you for the gospel message that salvation is through faith alone in Christ alone. We pray that it would be proclaimed once again, as we know it will be in this hour and even as we have just been singing. Father, it is a joy to be here, and we thank you that you are here with us. And we pray that as we continue in this hour of worship, as the word is brought, as the preaching is done, that all will be by the Holy Spirit's leading and empowering, and that great things will happen in each heart here today, that we will leave changed and ready to serve you for another week. We commit this hour to you and give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Looking at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. One of these wonderful Bible stories that we find in the New Testament. Beginning at verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was out there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you this morning for your great grace and mercy to us. We thank you for your word, for the power and might of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, how he's able to defeat the devil in all of his ways. And we thank you so much for the salvation that we have through him. We just pray your blessing upon each one who has come this morning, that we might truly receive something that would be helpful to us as we face the world in these days. Give us grace and strength, and keep us in your care. We do thank you, Father, so much for all your love to us. I do want to pray especially for Kathy as she's having this surgery on Wednesday. We pray that everything will go well for that. We pray also for Elena and her family in the death of her brother. And we pray that you'll comfort their hearts. We pray for the Consolo family, that you'll undertake for them. For Tom, as he had this accident, we pray that he will be healed, if it be your precious will. And we pray for the whole family, that you'll meet their needs in every way. Thank you so much for all your love to us. We ask you to guide us and help us in all that we do in this service today, and speak to the heart of each one, that we might truly be blessed and encouraged, helped, and whatever our spiritual need might be, would be satisfied. May your holy will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look once again at Mark chapter 5. A man named Legion. Jesus and his disciples, you remember we saw last week, were going across the Sea of Galilee, and they had this terrible storm that came up. Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, and the disciples were all frenzied, thinking that they were going to drown. So they woke Jesus up, and he said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And Jesus awoke, got up simply, and said what? "Peace, be still." And everything was calm, right? All taken care of. No more problems. And so then they sailed on across the Sea of Galilee, and they came to this place, as it says here, the other side of the sea, the country of the Gadarenes. And I was looking at that, and I understand that this was the area where the tribe of Gad had settled. You remember, they didn't go into Israel itself, or the Promised Land. They settled on the other side of the Jordan River. So apparently, that's what he's talking about here. The Gadarenes was probably where they were. And you notice these people perhaps were not as, shall I say, religious as the others. Because you notice that they're raising pigs, for one thing here. Whether these were Jewish people or whether they may have been Gentiles, we're not sure. But we notice here that Jesus goes across the sea, and he had a reason to go. You know, it's something how Jesus always did something for a reason. I remember in the fourth chapter of John, where it talks about going through Samaria. He said he must needs go through Samaria, right? And that's where he met the woman at the well, right? He had an appointment, so to speak, with this person. And here we find another person. And in Matthew, it actually tells us that there are two. And Matthew 5:28 says that there were actually two men that were in this condition. But Mark and Luke both center in on just the one. And so that's the one we're looking at today. It says, "When he came out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." So this person came to Jesus, right? Jesus, as soon as he got out of the boat. And apparently this person was terrorizing the whole area. No one could go near where he was, or he would attack them or scare them away. And here he comes to Jesus. He sees these new people coming, Jesus and his 12 disciples, and he comes up to him and falls down before him, he says, right? This man, what about him? Who was he? We find here his condition, first of all. It tells us that he was like a wild man. They call him sometimes the maniac of Gadara, right? Or Gadara, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Anyway, we find that he was completely controlled by demons. It said he had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him in any way. No doubt the local people had tried to constrain him, put him, you know, into a position where he could not cause trouble. And yet he would just break the chains, break the ropes off of him, and keep on going like Samson over in the Old Testament, you remember? Had the power of God upon him, and nobody could bind him. Well, this man had the power of Satan upon him, and no one could bind him as well. So he lived, as it says, among the tombs, among the dead. Apparently this was a place, I guess, where the outcasts many times would live. That wouldn't be a very pleasant place, I wouldn't think, among the dead people, these tombs. And yet the lepers and others of that nature that were not accepted by people so often would live there. And this man, and apparently others as well, lived there among the tombs. But, and he's all alone. He's in his own way. He's demented, I suppose. He can't control himself. And these demons have full possession of him. That's a terrible situation for this man to be in. He cried continually and even injured himself. It says he cut himself with stones. Night and day he was crying out. And no one could do anything to help him. He was helpless. There was nothing that he could do to make his situation any better. He's all there, right? And then Jesus comes. I have this song from Dr. Oswald Smith, who was a pastor up in Toronto, Canada, People's Church. He wrote a song called "Then Jesus Came." And the second verse especially refers to this person. It says, "From home and friends the evil spirits drove him. Among the tombs he dwelt in misery. He cut himself as demon powers possessed him. Then Jesus came and set the captive free." Verse 5 says, "So men today have found the Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself within." When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Can you say amen to that? Huh? That's certainly what happens, isn't it? No matter what our condition might be, we're helpless to do anything about it until Jesus comes. Here he came to this dear man who was so bound by sin and ungodliness. And here we find his conversion, beginning at verse 6. "When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him." The word worship means he bowed down before him, right? And recognized who he was. You know, it's something that says that the demons know who God is. They know who Jesus is. And over again we find that in his ministry. The demons would say, "We know who you are," you know. Even though the people might not have realized it, they certainly did. And yet this man, it seems like he had a certain desire to know Jesus. He goes and bows down before him, and he cried out with a loud voice, and this is the demon speaking, of course, right? Not the man. "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" They knew exactly who he was, right? There was no doubt. They knew who he was, the Son of the Most High God. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. They knew what was coming, because he said to them, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Now, actually, there were a lot of spirits within him, not just one. It says in verse 9, Jesus asked him, what is your name? What is your name? Talking to the man. And the man said, we are legion, for we are many. Right? Now, I don't know how many there were. They tell me that in a legion of the Roman army was 6,000. Now, I don't know. I wouldn't say that the man had 6,000 demons. I would certainly hope not. But at any rate, we know that he was completely demon possessed and couldn't do anything about it. So Jesus commanded the unclean spirits to come out of him. And these spirits began to plead with Jesus. Did you notice that? He besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. They didn't want to be put into the pit, the abyss, or wherever it is that these angels abound. You know, it speaks about in one place. Certain ones of them are. And they knew that Jesus had the power to get rid of them. So they pleaded with him. They said, hey, there's all these pigs over here, these swine, hogs. Send us into them. Now, does it seem strange to you that they would want to do that? I mean, they'd rather live in a pig, you know. I don't know. It seems like the demons have to have something to live in, right? They don't want to be disembodied spirits or anything like that. They want to have some place to live. And so they begged him to send them into the swine, thinking that they would be there. But these pigs had more sense than the rest of them, and they committed suicide. You get that? Suicide. They went charging down the cliff, down into the water, and drowned. Now, I don't know what happened to these evil spirits after that. We don't really know. But at any rate, the pigs were all drowned. 2,000. 2,000 pigs. I don't know how much a pig would cost. But I think 2,000 of them was probably a substantial amount, right? And so the ones that were watching them, the swine herders here, they look and they say, oh my goodness, what's happened? We're going to lose our jobs, you know. And all of us, these pigs have drowned. There's no way to save any of them. And so they went to the town and told the people, oh, all the pigs have drowned. And so they come running out, you know. Say, what in the world is going on here? And they look and they see them, no pigs. They're all gone. And notice what it says about the man here, verse 15. They come to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And they were so happy, right? No, it doesn't say that. They were afraid. They said, what in the world's happening here? You know? How could this be? Here's this wild man now. He's normal. And free from his bondage. Jesus has set him free. It's like as if he were born again, right? Here we have a brand new man sitting, clothed. He was naked before, now he's clothed. And in his right mind, he can think for himself. And instead of being rejoicing, they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. So what does it say? Verse 17. They began to pray him, that is Jesus, to depart out of their coast. They don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Does that sound familiar? You know, I've read over and over again on the internet, for example, how people talk about God and all of that. When they start talking about Jesus, it makes a big difference. People don't want to hear it, many of them. Unless, of course, you're a Christian, then it's fine. But the name of Jesus so often brings fear rather than joy, doesn't it? And here we see the difference. These people prayed him to leave. Notice it says in the next verse, and when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. You see the two different ideas here? The people said, please leave. This man says, I want to go with you. Right? Now that's the difference, isn't it, between a Christian and someone that is not. We find here he desired to be with Jesus. You know, it's wonderful when we can be in the presence of the Lord and we know that he loves us and cares for us, and we can be with him, and he's with us. As believers, he's with us all the time, right? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And but Jesus did say here, notice what he said. You might think, oh, he would have said, okay, come on, let's go. But he didn't. He gave him a commission. He gave him a job to do. Notice. He said, Jesus suffered him not. In other words, he says, no, I don't want you to go with me. I have something else for you to do. He says, go home to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Does that sound like a commission to you? I mean, that the Lord has spoken to us as his people, saying, go home to your friends, tell them what's happened. You know? This man here says, I used to be a wild man, and now I'm not, because Jesus has come into my life. He saved me. And we, as believers in the Lord Jesus, should have the same kind of testimony, shouldn't we? Here, we need to have that same type of thought. I have here a poem I was thinking about. I had this for a while. It's by, Joseph Odell, about these people rejecting Jesus. It says, Rabbi, be gone. Thy powers bring loss to us and ours. Our ways are not as thine. Thou lovest men, we swine. Oh, get thee hence, omnipotence, and take this fool of thine, his soul. What care we for his soul? What good to us that thou hast made him whole? Since we have lost our swine, and Christ went sadly, he had wrought for them a sign of love and hope and tenderness divine. They wanted swine. Christ stands without your door and gently knocks. But if you're gold or swine, the entrance blocks. He forces no man's hold. He will depart and leave you to the treasures of your heart. No cumbered chamber will the master share, but one swept bare by cleansing fires, then plenished fresh and fair with meekness and humility and prayer. There he will come. Yet coming, even there, he stands and waits and will no entrance win until the latch be lifted from within. So here we find Jesus. He wants to come in. He wants to share our life with us, but he will not force himself. And if people turn away from him and turn to something else, they're free to do that, aren't they? But how much better it is to follow him and to do his bidding, to walk in the way that he would have us to go. So this man obeyed the voice of Jesus. It says in verse 20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis, those are 10 cities, an area there, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I was listening this week to a message by W.A. Criswell from First Baptist Dallas. He was talking about this passage, and he said this man went out and he started to get all these vacation Bible schools and backyard Bible schools, and he got all these people saved. And he said, you know, when Jesus came back to the area later on, there was a whole crowd there waiting for him. Right? I don't know if that's true or not, but anyway, it does say that he went and he proclaimed what Jesus had done for him. He gave his testimony. And everybody marveled at what God had done in his life. So he obeyed. He became a witness. And the Lord blessed his life. So what a wonderful story we have here of how Jesus can set a person free from bondage, give salvation. I hope each one of us have that same, maybe not the same story, but the same salvation that this man had. This poor man could do nothing to save himself or help in any way. Jesus sought him out and by his grace set him free. After his salvation, he went to tell others what Christ had done for him. This is all Jesus asked him to do. And is what he did in obedience to him. And we also, we are his witnesses. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Right? I don't mean you have to be baptized. We talked about that in Sunday school. But to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. The question is, have you experienced this spiritual freedom? By simple faith in Christ, we can all come to him. He died for us. We're going to have the Lord's Supper in just a few moments, remembering what he did for us in taking our place on the cross and giving us salvation through his death and his burial and resurrection. So, don't send him away like the people of Gadara did. Receive him today. Make sure that he is your Savior, your Lord, and that you are going to obey him. Spread the good news to those that you come in contact with. May God bless his word to our hearts.